Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brozovic outswinger. It's not a down! It's Inter in front! Matias Vecino, with 10 minutes to play, has put Inter into the Champions League! Lazio 2, Inter 3!
Yes, Manny Chang, give me them goosebumps, man. And on that call, you just heard the man who joins us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved two blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Andres Cordero, play-by-play voice from BN Sports, does a great job with Matteo Bonetti on that broadcast team. You know, Dre, you guys did an excellent job all season long, whether it be with my first love of Serie A or La Liga, Ligue 1, whatever it was. You guys carried us through a season. Thank you for that. And how you doing tonight?
Great, great. Thanks for having me on. You know, I may be covering European football, and La Liga, Serie A, all of these, you know, the highest level of European football, like you say, but I'm a local kid. I'm from Miami. I've grown up in South Florida. So I grew up wishing that the sport would get big enough that we could, you know, pop into WQAM to talk soccer on a Friday night. And this is kind of a dream come true for me, to be honest.
Well, it's great to hear that, man. And that's fantastic. And so why don't we start with the local angle then, Dre, because I know that I hear from soccer fans, football fans every day on Twitter. I see people in the streets. I was at the unveiling press conference a few months ago with David Beckham and his business partners. There's a lot of buzz for the MLS coming to Miami. And so I will ask you, because one of the narratives is some people are unsure the sustainability, because even though, you know, people in this community, they show up big for international friendlies, they show up big for, you know, El Clasico, for International Champions Cup games, how sustainable can MLS be in this city, and what would some of the secrets be for that group to make it work down here?
Yeah, I think whether MLS would probably have the same challenge down here that any major sport would have down here, which is as long as you're good, as long as you're interesting, as long as you're winning, people are going to turn up and it's going to be a big deal. And if you have a prolonged period of underwhelming success, you're not doing particularly well, you're going to struggle to attract people in the same way that Miami has in terms of basketball. I mean, you think of the Miami Heat in the LeBron Wade era versus, you know, outside of it, you don't get the same sort of draw. And I think soccer would have the same fate here. If they're good, there is such an incredible interest. It's such a international city that I think they'd fill up the stadium, you know, quite easily. But if they're not good for, you know, a number of seasons, they're going to struggle. And people will probably blame it on the sport, but I don't think people are necessarily blaming the sport of baseball for the Marlins' low attendance numbers. It's more along the lines of, are you doing a good job as a franchise or as a club to attract people and to stay competitive? If you have a competitive Major League Soccer club in Miami, I think it'll be a resounding success.
Yeah, and I know that that their big mission statement, Beckham and his business partners, is that they do want to build it with young talent. But I think, Dre, we can probably agree that it is also important to be able to cherry pick some players from Europe with name value. And wouldn't you think that David Beckham, having, you know, his own iconic status and the connections he has, would be the type of owner who could make that happen in attracting some of the best players to the area?
Totally. Not just in sort of the personal relationship that he's made with players and you know, agents and clubs, and sort of his reach, which is, you know, truly international. But you think of the places that he's played, whether it was, you know, Paris or Real Madrid or Manchester United, I think he can attract, you know, top talent that you know, maybe is ready for it to leave the elite European level, say like a Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who's now at the LA Galaxy, or Kaká when he went to Orlando City. I think Beckham is sort of uniquely positioned to bring people to Miami. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, you know, most of the Italian superstars, the Christian Vieri, the Maldini, the Nestas, those guys all, you know, spend half the year in Miami. These European football stars cannot wait to get down to South Florida and, you know, sort of live on the beach. They're here sort of year-round anyway. So I don't think a Miami franchise would have any issue attracting big players. The rules of the league have always sort of been very flexible in order to attract top talent. You know, they kind of make it up as they go along sometimes. But I think that could work in Beckham's benefit.
You know, I have to ask you because I got a nervous producer on the other side of the glass. You know, he says he's cocky, he's confident, but I know he's a little bit nervous seeing, you know, Mo Salah lining up with the other club. Manny Chang, who's producing tonight, is a big Real Madrid fan. Champions League final, Real Madrid and Liverpool, and another producer here, Dre, Eric Falero in the afternoon, is a diehard Liverpool fan. So the two of them have had kind of a blood feud going on for this past week. How do you see that Champions League final playing out tomorrow afternoon?
It's brilliant. I mean, from a pedigree standpoint, these are two of the most successful clubs in sort of the history of the sport. Liverpool, it's only a handful of clubs. Only two clubs have won more European trophies, right? It's Real Madrid, who are unprecedented 12-time winners, including three of the last four. And Milan, who have seven, much to your strength.
Yeah, you know that. You know I don't like that.
After that, nobody else has more than Liverpool. And granted, the teams that are about the level with them, with five European trophies or more, have won it since that magical Istanbul 2005 season, which was the last time that Liverpool won. I don't know how much you remember that final, but that was Liverpool down to Milan 3-0 at the break, coming back to tie it 3-3 in regulation, and then winning it on penalties. And so Jurgen Klopp said ahead of this one that Liverpool have the pedigree and are accustomed to winning big things. That might be true, but it's been a long time since they have. And that could actually be something that works in their favor. You know, Liverpool could feel a bit like they're playing with house money, like they're the underdog, like no one's giving them a chance because they're coming up against the Real Madrid side that have been to the Champions League final for 3 years in a row now. I think in a lot of ways, Liverpool match up better with Madrid than Juventus did in last year's final. Juve, the now seven-time Italian champions, and then Atletico Madrid did in the two previous finals between Atleti and Real Madrid, because they're much better at sort of capitalizing on your mistakes. They play with a lot of intensity, a lot of energy, and a lot faster, I think, especially than Juve did. And when you look at how Madrid got here, and especially that semifinal against Bayern Munich, there were a lot of situations where Bayern sort of let them off the hook, chances from close range. Obviously, Keylor Navas had a lot to do with that, the Costa Rican goalkeeper of Real Madrid. But the chances were there for Bayern, and they didn't take them. And Liverpool have gotten to this stage because they've been able to punish the opposition when they make those mistakes. A lot of the Liverpool goals leading up to this one were sort of like second-time chances or putbacks or, you know, the deflected ball that lands from Mo Salah and he just punishes. So I think Liverpool match up really well, and it should make for, I think, a way more entertaining final than last year when Juventus sort of fell apart in the second half.
Yeah.
And the two against Atleti that were more cagey.
Yeah, I know that there are a lot of Real Madrid fans in the area, not just the one who's sitting in studio here with me. How different could that club look next year, Dre? And obviously, Real Madrid is always going to be putting a great team on the field. But could we be looking at a team without Bale, without Isco, maybe even without Cristiano Ronaldo next year?
Yeah, of those three, I find Ronaldo moving on to be the least likely. Believe it or not, just it seems weird to me that with Ronaldo still having so much, especially having proven in the second half of the season, he still has so much left in the tank, and he's still at the absolute, you know, upper echelon, elite level world football, that Madrid would allow him to walk away, or that he would be better off anywhere else than where he is right now, especially if Zidane sticks around, because I think Zidane has been terrific for Ronaldo's career in terms of just having the clout to be able to sit a superstar, which is just one of the most difficult things to do in football. Like, when to tell Cristiano Ronaldo to sit down, Lionel Messi to sit down, it takes a certain clout, a certain type of manager, and Zidane has been that. In terms of Bale and Isco, I think they would continue to just chug right along with the departure of either one of those two guys. And me, personally, I would much rather see Isco stick around. I think Isco is a difference maker in terms of the style of play. I think Madrid have a lot more control when he plays. Obviously, it's an extra midfielder as opposed to Bale, which is a little bit more of a forward or a wing forward. I've been underwhelmed with Gareth Bale's tenure, and it's unfair, but I think it's more to do with his price tag. This was before everybody was worth 100 million euro. Real Madrid sort of broke the bank to sign Gareth Bale, and I don't know that they necessarily got the return individually from Gareth Bale that for the money that they put out. Granted, the team success, you know, he's been a part of it, and that can't be disputed. But I think they could get along just fine without Gareth Bale. Isco, maybe would be a little bit more difficult to replace. But Real Madrid, really, they would, the superstars line up to play the Santiago Bernabeu. They're going to have no trouble reloading that if they need to.
Well, and speaking of 100 million euro plus price tags, you know, I have to bring it back to Inter, my club, on this one. Could you see one of these giant clubs making a move for Mauro Icardi and his release clause? Or do you think securing Champions League finally with Inter, which I know has been a big goal of his, probably enough to keep him there?
I'm a little bit surprised that Inter has been able to keep him for as long as they have, because it's not new that Mauro Icardi is very, very good at scoring goals. He's just won his second Capocannoniere, the Italian League scoring title. He won it a couple years back as a 21-year-old. He just won it again this season. There was some talk from Icardi himself that sounded a little suspicious to me before that last match against Lazio, when he was saying, we'll see at the end of the season what's in the best interest of the club, what's in my best interest. I mean, that stuff is textbook speak for a player who's on his way out, or a player who's trying not to commit to his team. I do think the Champions League changes things. I think you could have had a situation where Mauro Icardi is thinking, well, you know, we lost to Sassuolo 2 weeks before the end of the season, and we let our Champions League hopes slip away. And now, if I, you know, I'm 25 years old, if I want to take the next step in my career, I have to do it in the Champions League. I have to do it in the brighter lights of European football. With Inter having qualified for the Champions League, I think maybe that argument goes out the window. They'll have a bit more money, anywhere between 15 and $30 million just for qualifying for the Champions League group stage, depending on how well they do once they get to the 17. Invest a bit more money. They can bring in a little more talent. I know they're already bringing stuff on the fly. The guy who scored the own goal against Lazio in the last round, which is just such a bizarre scenario. He's one of the best defenders in Serie A. So I think Inter will get stronger next year, and that would be a huge incentive to keep Icardi. I wouldn't be too worried about him moving on now.
Now, a couple of other players on the transfer radar. What about Neymar and Griezmann?
So the moment Neymar left Barcelona, or the moment there was some talk of Neymar leaving Barcelona, there was zero doubt in my mind. I mean, not with any inside knowledge of this, but just deducing from the logic that Neymar was going to end up at Real Madrid. I'm not confident enough to say it's going to be this summer. I think the fact that I always expected he'd have two seasons at Paris Saint-Germain, give a really Champions League with PSG, Ballon d'Or, because he was never going to win that at Barcelona, playing alongside Lionel Messi, and then after 2 years, moved to Real Madrid. You look at the history of the top Brazilian players, they're not the most loyal in terms of sticking around at one club for ages. Look at, you know, a phenomenal Ronaldo, Inter, ex-Milan, ex-Real Madrid, ex-Barcelona, beloved by all four fan bases. You look at Romario's career, like some of the top, Ronaldinho, they tend to move around. They want to play at all the big clubs. It's not, you know, a Francesco Totti situation where they just stay at one place, or an Iniesta who stays at one place for ages. Neymar would eventually end up at Real Madrid, and I see no reason to change that opinion. Because of the injury toward the end of the season with Paris, because he didn't really get a chance to close out the year, I would expect he would go at least one more season at PSG. But it's difficult for me to imagine him not ending up at the Bernabeu in Madrid at some stage. The other was, you mentioned Antoine Griezmann, which is a little bit of a bizarre situation, because Griezmann apparently reportedly had a pre-contract agreement with Barcelona, which might not have been strictly legal. Similarly to what they did with Neymar when they had signed him back in 2011 with a pre-contract agreement way before they were legally allowed to do so. And then Griezmann seemed to change his mind about leaving Atletico Madrid. He had told Diego Godin that he was thinking about sticking around, but he was put in a difficult position, because does he stick around and break this pre-contract agreement? Does he leave to Barcelona? We don't know yet. We have no idea where that stands. He's supposed to be joining Barcelona this summer, but it's unclear whether he'll actually move or not. Messi seemed very welcoming. He said that he'd like to play alongside Griezmann, and once you get that Messi blessing, it becomes a little difficult to say no, because you know you're going to win big things.
Great stuff here, man. It's a pleasure talking to Andres Cordero, at Dre Cordero on Twitter, play-by-play commentator for BN Sports. And Dre, again, excellent job by you and Matteo Bonetti all season, providing that soundtrack for Serie A, providing the soundtrack to so many Inter games for me. And you know, as an Inter fan, I've been suffering for the last 6 years. People in this building make fun of me for celebrating a fourth-place finish as if I'm hoisting a Scudetto. But after what I've been through, I think I deserve a couple moments in the sun here.
Listen, neither one of the two teams that are in the Champions League final tomorrow. One beautiful thing about European football is you've got something to play for, you know, whether you win the domestic title or not. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that your boys get out of the Champions League group stage next year and make a real splash in the knockout stages.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy your holiday weekend and stay dry out there.
Cheers. Thanks.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.